Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
And welcome back to the House of Pod. My name is Kaveh Hoda. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Today, we're talking sports ball. Sports and basketball, really, in particular. Basketball. Now, if you follow the show for a while, you know that I love basketball. There is no other sport in my mind that carries the same artistic expression as basketball. Some sports are great in highlights. Like baseball, good in highlights. Football, it's fine. It's a fine sport. I'll root for the Niners. But there's nothing like basketball. It's poetry. It's beautiful. There's very few things I feel nationalistic about. Very few. Increasingly few, I should say. One of them is basketball. And I love what this country has done for the game. So I brought together a couple of friends to talk about basketball who also love basketball and to talk about in particular in terms of basketball related injuries, which concern me and what I feel are increasing numbers of them over the years. So let's first start by introducing some of the guests for the show. We have producer, bandmate, friend, one of my oldest friends, Nadim Abubaker. Nadim, how are you, buddy?
Good as always. Glad to be here.
It's good to have you back, buddy. I know you only come for the basketball episodes. It was Rick Barry and this. This is like the only episodes I can drag you onto the show for.
Yeah, I'm like a biannual. That's not twice a year. That's every other year.
Joining us also, Jason Emmanuel Petty, a.k.a. Propaganda, a.k.a. Prop, a.k.a. Ernest Slimmingway, yes. Poet, MC. I don't say rapper because nothing sounds whiter out of my mouth than when I say rapper. Teacher. Coffee aficionado and the host of one of my favorite podcasts, Hood Politics, Jason Prop.
What's up,
welcome,
man?
Back,
man. You dropped all the AKAs, AKA Lewis Rich Horse Choker. I don't know. I'm just kidding.
Oh, I was gonna say I didn't miss Horse Choker.
No, I just made that one.
It's not bad.
Also, diehard Laker fan. You know, saying Lakers on mine.
You representing Lakers, and the Deems representing Sacramento, the Kings. Oh, yeah. Actually, I'm so sorry. Let me first say something to our listeners who are not sports fans. I'm sorry. If you are amongst the medical contingent of people who actually listens for the medical content and you're like, what are we talking about today? There is going to be some medical stuff, but it's going to be a lot of sports. So I apologize in advance. If you need to check out of this one, I get it. But I think if you hang around, you're going to see why we love this game so much and maybe it'll rub off on you. Joining us to talk about sports and sports-related injuries, I brought a special guest, someone I'm very excited to talk to, Dr. Nirav Pundia. He's an associate professor at UCSF in the orthopedic surgery department, and he's the director of sports medicine at Benioff Children's Hospital. And he's also an injury analyst for 95.7 The Game. It's a
very popular radio station here in the Bay that does a lot of the sports content that I listen to constantly. Nirav, can I call you Nirav?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Welcome to the show, buddy.
Thank you for having me. My AKAs aren't as impressive as everyone else's. So
yeah, AKA yeah. Bone Doc, AKA what AKA else do they call
get
you?
It right.
Do we have anything
give me in
else?
The game?
Yeah.
Well, okay. So tell us a little bit about what it is you do first. Let's just start with that. For people who don't know, like what an orthopedic surgeon is or does, what is it you do and how does it relate to sports?
Yeah. So really my job is to kind of help people, you know, run, jump, get back to walking. And I specialize in doing it in adolescents and kids. So, you know, if you've got a muscle injury, you broke a bone, you tear a ligament, we fix it surgically, sometimes non-surgically, but my specialty is, you know, fixing it up, you know, with cameras, small incisions, trying to get people back on the field. So that's really at the heart of what I do.
And you're a big basketball fan. Is a lot of what you deal with basketball related injuries?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, basketball is big in the Bay Area, especially with kids. I call it the Curry effect. Everyone wants to play basketball once the Warriors got big. And, you know, unfortunately with that comes a lot of injuries. So I'd say basketball number one, soccer for females is number one, you know, basketball being for men. And see a lot of injuries with everyone trying to be their favorite star.
You know, it's funny because I know a lot of people who don't play basketball or have a lot of familiarity with it. I don't think they give basketball players the credit that they are earned for the physical contact and the physical wear and tear on their bodies. I don't think people realize how common injuries are. I mean, technically it's not supposed to be a contact sport in the way football is, but there's injuries all the time. What are the most common types of injuries you see for basketball?
Yeah, I think the most common, this is the same for professional athletes, you know, high school athletes, weekend warriors, you see a lot of foot and ankle injuries. You're going up, you're being explosive, you're in the paint, you're going to be landing awkwardly. So I'd say ankle foot injuries, number one. And then fortunately, number two, we see the big knee injuries. You see the ACL injuries, the meniscus injuries. I mean, people are playing such amount of force on their bodies now. You look at a person like John Morant, you look at Zion. I mean, what these athletes are doing at their size is remarkable, but unfortunately the joints can only take so much force. And you know, when you're trying to replicate that, whether you're a weekend warrior or a young athlete, sometimes the body just doesn't hold up to it. So a lot of foot and ankle, and second, we see a lot of knee stuff.
You know, back when we had Rick Barry on the show, I looked into it a little bit because I certainly felt like there was an increasing number overall of injuries in basketball, in the NBA in particular, over, you know, just the course of me watching it, you know, like 20, 30 years of watching it. So, I mean, 10 years, cause I'm only 20 something. That's not true. Don't look it up. Anyways. But it seems like there's more and more injuries that are occurring. There's not a lot of data out there that's been shared by the NBA. There are some sports analysts that have written about it and have shown there's this general trend upwards. What's your experience following the game, working with athletes? What are you seeing?
Yeah, I think we're definitely seeing a lot more injuries in general, whether you look at time missed, you look at kind of severe injuries, particularly when people are at the collegiate or professional level. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that, you know, 20, 30 years ago, these athletes, when they were playing in middle school, they're playing in high school, they weren't playing year round. You know, you play for your high school team, maybe play for a club team, and then you do something else, you take, you know, 3-4 months off. Now we're getting kids come in, you know, 18, 19, 20, who've already played almost, you know, 10, 11 years worth of basketball in their body. And then they're breaking down when they get to the NBA. So, you know, you think back at the 80s and 90s, you didn't see 21, 22, 23 year old players out for a season because they tore their ACL or, you know, they had a foot injury. You know, people played and they played physical, but they were resting in the off season and they were coming in with a lot less mileage on. So I think the increase in injuries is people are coming in just with more mileage. And number two, they're playing in a much more explosive way. I mean, yeah, the 80s and 90s were very physical, but it was physical in a different way. It was physical in terms of force, in terms of like hitting each other, but you weren't seeing people explode and cut and play at the size that they were doing. So it's a combination of mileage plus the game's just more explosive these days.
That's pretty interesting. Yeah. I was wondering, does load management help with that kind of stuff? I mean, I know every star does load management, every team, but then the NBA recently put out a report saying that it doesn't help. I don't know if that's because they need their stars to play or it doesn't really help.
Yeah, I know that report came out and love to see the science behind it. You know, there are a couple studies that are out there that are actually contrary to that. And we actually did a study as well too, looking at minutes played in NBA players. And the more minutes they played over a period of, you know, 5 to 10 games, they're more likely to get injured. So NBA published this. They didn't really show the data that's out there and it's contrary to what's out there. So You know, it's a little counterintuitive, and interesting enough, kind of in kind of the fine print of that study, they only looked at star players. They didn't really look at the whole NBA. So yeah, you know, if you've got a great athlete, you've got the Currys, you've got the John Morants, you've got other players, John, not a good example because he's injured now, but in general, you're only looking at 33% of the NBA population and you're saying load management doesn't work. So I like to see the data. I think there's a little bit of secondary gain behind it because of course you don't want NBA star players to be load managing because no one's going to buy tickets for games then. So yeah, like to see them publish it. I doubt they will, but I think the load management, if you look at it in every other sport, even what's published in the NBA, it works. But there's a financial interest for the NBA to say that it doesn't.
Yeah. I was going to say too, like to your point earlier, I have a nephew who, when he was sixth, seventh grade, we all saw like, oh, this kid's D1 material, you know? And yeah, like, you know, he's in eighth grade, they're sending him shoes. He's, you know, running around colleges and stuff. And yeah, he has no off seasons, you know? And even during the season, he's got private ball, travel ball, you know, all these different tournaments he's playing in. Like the kid was playing every day and he's in the gym. He's in the gym like a grown man, you know, working out. And because, you know, what he was taught was like, you know, you limit injuries by honestly just being stronger. Like that, you know what I mean? If you're just stronger, it's a different situation. But, you know, senior year, CIF finals, you know, he's behind the bleachers getting his back massaged, you know, because I'm like, you're 17 getting back spasms? Like, this can't be, you know. And of course, he went on to, you know, he's playing, I think, D2 or something. Like, you know, he went on to collegiate level playing. But yeah, like, I'm like, you played three seasons in one season. You're playing so many different leagues. Yeah. And then just anecdotally was like, dog, this can't be right, man. Cause I feel like, you're gonna get to the league and your body gonna think you've been playing for 10 years, you know?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And what I tell the athletes when they come in, I'm like, look, the best, your best chance for making it to the next level is not to get injured. You know, and I can say that and I can preach to the parents and the coaches, but the problem is that you tell that to a coach, you're like, hey coach, I'm not gonna, you know, I'm only gonna play 50% of the games, or I'm not gonna, you know, do this travel ball, and then you don't have a spot, you know? So it's, you get money, you get AAU money, you get shoe money involved in this, and then there's no way out, you know? That's the only, so we gotta change that culture before, you know, you can help these kids out.
It makes me really angry when I see people complaining about stuff like that. When they complain about like, in my day, we didn't take, you know, breaks. We didn't, you know, and it really bothers me. Like, I absolutely, I understand how if you're in the Memphis Grizzlies, or you're a Grizzly fan and you go to a game and John Morant's healthy and they sit him out, I understand why that's a bummer. But I'll understand also if they come to visit us and they're playing my team and he sits out for load management. I get it. It's not ideal. I get it. But, you know, these are these people's lives. Like, people don't understand, like, how much wear. I don't know how many professional NBA players get by without some surgery, like, at some point. At this point, it feels like everybody goes under the knife at some point. Like, I don't follow football that closely, but I don't even feel like football has this many surgeries that happen to it. You know, this concussion stuff and the CTE, which is the real issue. But I don't feel like there's this constant surgeries. Like, Chris Paul breaks his hand. Instead of just letting it, you know, rest, he has to get surgery for it to increase. Can you tell us a little bit about that, for example? Like, why would a surgery in a situation like that be even necessary? Would just resting it and giving it time, like putting in a cast, letting it set, would that be another option?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, obviously without knowing the exact x-rays and, you know, et cetera. But in general, a lot of these surgeries are done to give someone a week, 2 weeks, you know, get them back on the court. You know, when the regular person, first of all, would just, you know, put it in a cast, rest. You don't need to, you know, get your knee scope, get this bone fixed. But, you know, a week or two for an NBA team that's trying to make the playoffs can be a big deal. But unfortunately, what ends up happening is that then you're chasing surgery after surgery after surgery, and you're never getting a chance for your body to heal because you're just trying to push to the limits to get back on the court. So it's hard because on the back end, when we see people in clinic, they're like, why aren't you fixing this on me? Why can't you get me back 3 weeks earlier? Yeah. I'm like, you're 10. You know, like, go to the playground. You don't need to get back for your club basketball game, you know? But
here's a switch. Relax, kid.
Here's, go dig a hole, son. Dude, like, yeah, I was going to say, like, even what you were saying, too, like, I think about, like, my high school ball days. Like, I was a late bloomer, so I just didn't get an adult body until college. So, like, nobody was like recruiting me. You know what I mean? I could hoop, but like, I wasn't being recruited. But I remember taking so much pride in, because this is how we were, like, in playing hurt. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not a punk. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, yeah, tape it up. You know what I'm saying? Put some ice on and get back in there, you know? And then it's like, and all of us like taking pride in that. And now this guy's ankles just don't work. You know what I mean? Like, and now we're adults and you have these like injuries that if you would have just like, this is so silly. Like, just, yeah, just like sit down. Like, it's fine. Yeah. Sit down. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
people have such a visceral response to that. Like, these old school fans. Like, I remember, I think it was Derrick Rose at some point was like, yeah, I need to rest a little bit. I'm hurting. And people were like, you fucking pussy, we're paying you all this money. And he was like, no, dude, I want to, when I'm like a old man, be able to walk and play with my kids. He said something like that. And I was like, that's fucking great. I'm so glad he said that. Because honestly, like, we expect so much of these, like, the, you know, the average, what's the average, like, career span of an NBA player? 5 years, right, on average, at best, probably. You know, like, they are going to get these injuries and they're going to have to live with them for the rest of their life, and they're not going to have the same income forever. Yeah. You know, it's crazy what we expect of them.
Right. And you think about any other field, you would never, like, you know, any other service field or even in medicine, you wouldn't be like, well, you're going to operate tired because I'm here today. You know, like, everyone else would be like, look, we want to maximize your performance and make sure you do the best job possible, you know? But I think that something, there's almost like a, when people come into that stadium and they paid money, and I understand it's very expensive for fans, but there's almost like, well, then you have to entertain me, you know, which has its own issues behind all that. But it's, it's, you know, it's just not right. And the professional athletes have to, you know, they're humans, you know, they have to take care of themselves. Yeah.
I have another question that is, I mean, I don't even know if you can answer it, but like, almost every retired NBA player walks the same. Mm-hmm. Like, what is that? What is that walk? What is the injury? And why do they all have it? Yeah. You understand, you know the walk I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
They all walk the same. Yes. Yeah. I remember my coach used to walk like that. I'm like, my gosh, you all walk like this. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a chronic knee issues. It's that jumping, the running, the cartilage in the knee breaks down, and then you take their feet. I mean, you look at an NBA player's feet.
Yeah.
They are broken down. They've had ankle sprains. They're just, you know, arthritic. So, yeah, it's the, I can't get around. I'm waddling. I've got that. Looks like your knees are going to fall off walk. I mean, it's just hard.
The Jet Smith walk, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's just like, he got that walk. They all got that walk.
Yeah.
So it's just wear and tear.
Yeah.
You can tell when someone, you're exactly right. It's so funny. You can tell when someone's playing. So I'm playing, you can see on my shirt here, it says coach, because I am a coach of my son's basketball team.
Yes.
And we played a game against another team recently, and the coach for that team was like a parent of the team as well. And he was this tall dude, and he had that walk. And
he
had
the walk.
Like,
yep.
He had that walk, and his son was the best player on that team because he was clearly an NBA. He played, I think he probably played NBA at some point. But like, it was clearly like him. I knew he was going to be a problem. Like, oh, this guy knows what he's doing because
he's got the walk. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Nurov, can anything be done about that? Like, what is that, just something they have to live with? Is this like physical therapy? What do you recommend?
Yeah, I mean, I think the only thing that you can really do, you know, besides, you know, obviously avoiding some sort of traumatic injury, is that you know, basically taking load off the joint. So that's strengthening everything around it, load management as well, too, like if you can kind of preserve things. So you can be strong, avoid the traumatic injury, and just, you know, what they're doing a lot more is looking at how players jump. How do they land? Are they mechanically efficient? Mm. So you take a look at, you know, a player like Chet Holmgren, right? So you're like, this guy, everyone always says, oh, he would never last in the 80s or 90s. But you look at the way he runs and he jumps. I mean, he's mechanically very efficient and he's saving his joints, even though he's, you know, looks like he's got a BMI of 15. You know, and that's how players are athletic now. That's how they basically will work and do things. So I think it's looking at how you're running, how you're jumping, and not just your brute physical force. And I think that's really how you're going to preserve these joints in the long term.
Speaking of brute physical force, I'm just going to cram in a commercial break right now. Boom.
Rick Mahorn, that commercial in there.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And we're back. Oh, with grace and beauty and dignity, we have returned from that commercial break. Nadim, I think you have some, you are not a professional athlete. You are a semi-pro bass player, and you look damn good doing that. But you have some basketball related injuries, as I think probably everyone here does.
We all do, yeah.
Tell us, actually, I wouldn't mind sharing all our injuries at one point, but let's let Nadim go first. Tell us.
Sure. So, yeah, I mean, I'm just a weekend basketball warrior. So, yeah, when I was 20, I tore the ACL in my right knee. Okay. And then played like the best 6 years of basketball after that. Did the physical therapy. It was like better basketball afterwards. So I was like, wow, this is amazing. Then tore my right ACL again, and then did the physical therapy. Didn't come back as great, you know. I would say where I was 100% before, now is probably 80-90%. And then I think I was about 39. I had a bucket handle tear in the same knee playing basketball. So that's a meniscus injury. And so my surgeon at the time, he was like, "Yo, Nadim, I think it's time you retire from playing basketball."
So, stop hooping, man.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Is should I stay off the court? I mean, I've been off the court for 5 years now, but I'm like, even when I go out there, it's like, I avoid going out there because I know I'm going to play. I don't even go to courts anymore because it's like,
he can't help himself. He just loves it. He loves it.
I would stay away from the court. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, your body's told you.
You can't even be the old dude that just rains threes from the corner, huh? That like walks up and down the court, just giving the ball, he set shoots.
Yeah, I want to be that guy. Yeah.
I can only like play with my kids now, I think.
Yeah, keep it low key, you know, maybe shoot on your own. But yeah, do not go to your local, you know, 55-year-old gym in 20 years and play. It's just a setup for bad stuff.
Yeah, there are just some people that just don't, I mean, are there just some people whose bodies just should not play basketball? You mean like, is Nadim just one of those guys? His knees were never designed for this. They were designed for beauty, but not for function.
No, I think that, you know, I think what a lot of people forget as well too, is that once you get that first big injury, it doesn't matter what age you are, then it sets off that cascade where, you know, you could have the best knees in the world and something happens. And then people forget, you know, it's hard to get back to that same level, even though you feel better. And then that knee, I mean, it's not normal to get an ACL surgery. It's not normal for your knee to experience that, but we've gotten so good at rehab that people expect it. But you know, unfortunately for a lot of people, this is what happens. You get, you know, injury on injury, and then it becomes harder. Yeah.
Is any of that mental? Like, that's what one of my friends said. He was just like, you just never, cause you're like, I posted and did a crossover like I've done a million times and it popped. So now I'm like, even just inadvertently being more ginger and not moving the way I used to because I'm scared it's gonna happen again.
Yeah. Or is favoring that, the other leg or something.
Favoring the other leg because you're just afraid.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah, no, all the time. Yeah. And I think we get this impression that you get the surgery done, you see professional athletes go back and they're doing great. For most people afterwards, I mean, it's the traumatic part of tearing it, going through surgery, 9 to 12 months of rehab, and you're like, why would I ever want to, you know, go back to it? And that's why it's even more amazing, got my Klay Thompson jersey on, is that for someone like him to tear his ACL, tear his Achilles, miss almost 3 years, and then get any degree of confidence back that you worry about this happening, it's pretty remarkable. You know, I think that just speaks to volumes how professional athletes are just built differently mentally. It's hard to do that.
So have things actually gotten better? Have there been medical advancements in like Achilles? Like I remember back in the 80s and 90s, tearing your Achilles was like a death sentence. Your career was over.
Yeah.
I think Dominique Wilkins was the only guy I remember who ever came back from a torn Achilles. Yeah. And now it's like, I wouldn't say it's common, but people tear and then they come back.
Yeah. So I think a lot of it is, it's still kind of at the heart of it, you're still sewing two things together. But I think where we've really learned, with new kind of like smaller, incisions and things like that, is you can push the rehab a lot more. So before you'd get in your Achilles, you tear it, you'd be in a cast for 3 months and you wouldn't push rehab. And then it was just like, 6 months not doing anything. There's no way you can make it back. Now, first week, second week, you're starting to walk, you're starting to push the rehab. So you don't get that secondary muscle issue. So you see someone like Aaron Rodgers walking, 3 weeks after an Achilles, and it's nothing to do that they did something fancy with the surgery. We just know that we can really push the rehab, so you have the opportunity to come back. Whereas before, you're just sitting around for 6 months doing nothing, and then there's your chance to be a professional athlete, and it's gone.
It raises an interesting topic for me, because you are a doctor who is a sports analyst, but you don't work directly for the teams. How that must be I'm sure you know the doctors that do. Yeah. That seems like it's got to be a very difficult position to be in, to be a doctor whose job is to take care of the patient, but you're also being employed by the team that wants that person, the patient, out as soon as possible. What is that like for those people? Is that a difficult tightrope to walk for those docs, and both for basketball and say for football? How do they do it? What's it like for them?
Yeah, I think, basketball actually is pretty good. Know some of the team physicians for basketball. I think in general, because there's just less NBA players, there's more of a culture of let's make sure you get healed. Let's make sure you get back, because we understand that you've got a special skill set. I think in football, that's where the line really gets pushed, because, the next person up, there's, lots of people waiting to get back in, and, they're going to push back from their surgery. They're going to, go back quickly. And I think where it really becomes difficult are things like concussions, things that don't necessarily have a distinct surgical thing. It's like these judgment calls. It's like, is your stinger better? Is your arm moving properly? Can you go back in? Or, I know with concussions, they have independent neurologists and things like that, but still, we all watch the games. We see people who are on the sidelines and look like they've had something, and they're, they know what the right answers are to give. It's hard to judge, and you got the coach right there. So it's hard, and that's why I think more and more physicians don't want to do professional team coverage, because it's, there's risk associated with it. It's stressful, and it just doesn't have that glory of like the 70s and 80s where you could say, oh, I'm the team physician for the 49ers or, whatever team. And, there wasn't that stress. I think there's more and more, stress on these doctors to clear athletes so they can get back, because you're being employed, right? They're basically, you're working for the team. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that seems like an awful position to be in. I mean, and I can't imagine they're making, that's a lot of, it's been proven. Doctors think they're immune to outside pressure, but it's been proven that we're not. That's why most residency programs, they don't let like pharma companies come in and give them free lunches and free stuff the way they used to in the past, because it's been proven that it can affect doctors and the way they make decisions. So we're not like immune to that sort of stuff. We're clearly not. That is very very interesting to me, especially when it comes to football, because we all heard the stories about the doctor just giving IV Toradol to everybody, and then football players having kidney issues, and football players in particular, once they stop the game, their health goes down precipitously, it seems like. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you see these retired players, it's just first of all, just the wear and tear on it, and then just what they have to do to their bodies to get to that size. It's not normal to be 325 pounds and 2% body fat, and do what you need to do to be at that level, and then suddenly you stop doing the training for that, and just the sheer effect of all that muscle mass turning into fat, and not having the same level. It's just horrendous when you see these former players who don't have the opportunity to take care of themselves in the same way.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. Is normal such a horrible word, but like, or should is a horrible word too. But I'm like, should y'all bodies be like that? Like, should y'all be that strong? Obviously, I'm a Laker fan.
It doesn't look normal, I'll tell you.
No, obviously, I'm a Laker fan. So I'm just like, Kobe was sent down from the gods, and, all of heaven wanted him back, so it is what it is, right? And our consolation prize was LeBron James, which is the greatest consolation prize of all time, obviously, right? I'm just saying this, obviously, because I'm a Kobe guy. But, I'm like, all right, man, You're 40. Like, aren't you supposed to act? Aren't you supposed to have atrophy? Like, are we supposed to be this? Like, is this? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Should our body? Yeah. And like, yeah, same thing like with football players. I'm like, should you be that big?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, you look at, I mean, even you look, compare football players from like, you know, 15, 20 years ago, like someone who was 250, 260, that was like the defensive lineman, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like you're 325 and you're running like a 4.440. So even though people are getting muscular and stronger, joints are still the same size. Yeah, our ACLs haven't evolved to.
Yeah, your bones are. You have Homo sapien bones.
Those, right.
You got same bones, buddy. Yeah. Okay.
So, Nirav, I don't know if you have kids or not. You don't have to tell me if you do.
No, I do.
Good. Okay.
HIPAA right here.
Yeah, yeah, I don't want to break any HIPAA laws. HIPAA laws. But are there any sports that you would not let them play? And are there any ones that you might with conditions?
Yeah, you know, the only one, just also if you can see me through the Zoom, I'm pretty small. I probably wouldn't let my son play football. Just because of her size. But I think, you know, part of it as well, too, is that, you know, even though there's more knowledge about concussions, I think at the NFL level, even at the college level, I think it's still not there, you know, at the junior high school level. It's just, you know, it's, you know, when we look at concussions, we think about the big ones that happen on the NFL field, but mm-hmm. it's all the repetitive head injuries that happen elementary school, junior high school. And then by the time you get the pros, you've already had your head hit so many times. So I think, yeah, that's probably the one thing, because, you know, obviously I'm an orthopedic surgeon. I think we can fix everything, but we can't fix brain trauma. So I think that's the thing. Like, yeah, my son's playing soccer, he tears his ACL, or my daughter, you know, playing basketball has a, you know, ligament injury. We can pretty much fix it. And yeah, you might have a joint that's kind of tough, but we can't reverse CTE. So I think that's the one where I would say, look, you know, probably don't want you to play football. You know, football has done a lot of great things for a lot of people, but I think that, you know, given the choice, you know, I wouldn't have my kids play football.
I mean, I am the same way. You mentioned though that if you were bigger, that you, it, I mean, that was part of your calculus. I don't know, even for me, if my kids turned out large. I'm a large mammal. If my kids turned out large, I still don't know if that would make much of a difference for me in terms of football. That's the one that concerns me the most.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, yeah, even is a bigger person, the head's ahead, you know? So I agree that that's something. And, you know, in California right now, there's a debate about, you know, do you ban tackle football till high school? And, you know, a lot of the arguments that we've heard about, like, I played football when I was six and I tackled and I turned out fine. You know, like, I think now
did
we just
you,
know more.
First of all, when people say that, I'm like,
did you? That's a matter of opinion.
Everyone always thinks they're so special and their generation's so great. I mean, just everyone's such. I was at a dinner party and we're with these people, and everyone's like, these kids these days, they're on their things and whatever. And I'm like, why? Did you turn out so fantastic that they have to be just like us? We didn't turn out that great. Like, why does everyone?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that I would kind of would have done different. Wish somebody would have stopped me, you know?
Yeah.
Like I said, like, hey man, if you're hurt, you should sit down.
Yeah.
Like that's like, I wish it was okay for me to be like, yeah, that hurt. I'm gonna sit down.
I mean, but, I mean, the example I always use is like, yeah, people in the 70s didn't wear seatbelts in cars.
Yeah.
But you still put a seatbelt on, right? You know, just because you didn't get in an accident in the 70s. So it's, you know, it's that kind of thing. We can't make decisions based on, you know, people's personal stories. Yeah.
How you feel
survivorship bias?
That's right.
That's a good one. Yeah. Yeah. How you feel about youth like jujitsu?
I think martial arts are great. You know, I think that there's, you know, it teaches a lot of things. First of all, it's a controlled setting. You learn like discipline, you learn core strength, all those things that just gets lost these days. And I think that when you put rules in it, you put respect in it. Obviously there's a risk with it, but I think martial arts are great. It's just for a lot of kids who don't necessarily fit into the traditional quote unquote team sports thing that everyone plays. Martial arts has so much value to it as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
If I'm being totally fair too, I'm kind of picking on football, but basketball has, we can go around the table now and share the rest of our injuries. I mean, I broke my nose twice, like subluxated my shoulder, a couple fingers, you know, broken here and there, sprained. So, an Achilles, I had a partial Achilles tear, although I know the term partial is very questionable for orthopedic surgeons.
It's torn.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So it was a weird one. So no sport's perfect. I know. But that there are some that concern me more than others, I think. I mean, there's something that the risk. Actually, let me ask you this. Like, I remember when we were in high school, they would always check people for hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, that heart disease or a congenital heart condition that could lead to someone having an arrhythmia and dying, like on a basketball court with extraneous exercise or soccer, any sport that requires that.
Running sport.
Yeah, exactly. I don't feel like they do that anymore. Am I wrong? Are they checking for that still?
Yeah, you know, some places are doing it. Like, you know, over here at UC, we bring all our, you know, athletes to the schools we covered in for cardiac screenings. But I think where a lot of it ends up, you know, falling on is, you know, when they go to their school physical or their sports physical, their primary care physician, it's, you know, not everyone can get an echo, you know, not everyone's getting an EKG, you know. So yeah, I think in the past, you know, there was, you know, less people, I think, playing sports in general, so you could check it. But I agree, it's one of those things that we're seeing more and more people are getting cardiac stuff. You heard about, you know, obviously, yeah. Hamlin for football, or Bronny when he was playing for US, mm-hmm. you know, before he right. started for USC. So I agree, that's the other part of it that we don't, you know, there's beyond like the joint injuries, there's all this other stuff wrapped into it that we need a better job of screening for.
Yeah. Speaking of Bronny, have you been surprised to find that weird anti-vaccine sentiment has crept into the sports discourse?
It is, I mean, on social media, it is crazy. Like anytime, you know, and I do my injury analysis stuff, like I'm going to describe why something happened. And there's always inevitably, it was a vaccine. It's a vaccine. Right. And it's almost, you know, it's almost like anytime anyone brings up something happening, someone, you know, has a cardiac issue, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they'll
like
clip together, clipping together completely unrelated clips of people whose passing out and injuries are explained. Yeah, and they're right. told what they are, and they'd be like, well, they're all this. Well, no, they said what it was on the clip that yeah. you posted.
Right.
They said what it was. Yeah.
Right.
There'll be like this clip of like a football player smashing his helmet into another football player's helmet, giving him a concussion. They'll be like, well, would he have done that if he didn't have the vaccine? Would he have made that decision?
Like, what?
Yeah, hey, well, I admit they have quite the social media machine to find any and everything.
They really do
to post something. So yeah, I mean it's there. It'll be the hidden reply on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it now. It's the hidden reply. Oh, there's a vaccine thing besides someone asking me for like a quality logo done. You know, that's
never
always
check
my
the
favorite.
Hidden reply. Never check the hidden replies.
Never.
Hey,
I texted Sophie, who's like one of our like executive producers on our side, who's also like. Bleeds purple and gold. You know, we're on our Laker group chat where we're arguing over how much we don't like Doc Rivers' voice, who I'm like, clear your throat, man. Like, what is that? Why haven't you cleared your throat since you were a Celtic? Which is probably partially like why we don't like him. But so she had a question. I was like, yo, you got a question for him. And she asked, like, we want to know what you think like the best like luxury health and wellness item is, like cryo machine or anything like that. Like, and what, like, are those like really luxury ones like really worth it?
Yeah. So I always say the best thing people ask, what should I buy? Get a foam roller, $10 foam roller. Great thing. Works out, you know, soft tissue kind of works out, you know, kind of things that are tight. But actually, I think the one luxury item I think that works really well is the Theragun. Or whatever brand, you know, I'm not sponsored by Theragun, but yeah,
we just Nadeem, got one.
Yeah,
Nadeem just pulled his out right there.
Yeah, those personal experience. I mean, that, you know, being over 40 now, it helps. I've heard, you know, younger athletes get it. I think those are great because they can really work tight areas, loosen up tissue. And the only other thing that I think has worked that I find a lot of long distance runners like are those compression ice boots. You know, people have those leg wraps that you see a lot of players work on that kind of gives you the compression and ice. I think those are great, but. Go basic, $15 foam roller, whatever version of vibrating massage gun you want. I think those are really great. Then you start getting into kind of like some of the infrared sauna, red light mask things. Yeah, it just like makes whatever. You feel it's placebo. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. What about the ice baths and stuff? Like that's very popular amongst like Silicon Valley tech bros. Like they like do their bicycling, running, whatever, and they jump into an ice bath. What's the benefit there? Is there any evidence?
Yeah, I mean, there's some thought, you know, when you've got the ice, it kind of helps with, you know, constricting blood flow and muscle recovery. You know, I look at ice as like kind of the basic thing. Like if something's swollen, put ice on it, you know, it's going to help. The recovery stuff, it's hard to say. I mean, there's never going to be a randomized trial. Let's take a bunch of people, half of them jump in a hot bath, half of them jump in a cold bath, and see how they do. You know, probably like people who are jumping in, people who are like jumping in an ice bath are probably doing other things healthy for their life besides that. So, I think it's always hard to say.
You're talking about like cold plunging and stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So earlier we were talking about like Ja Morant, and I was just kind of wondering, the Grizzlies this year have had a lot of bad luck. I mean, Steven Adams started off
out
for the season.
Love that. Love now, Steven Adams, by the way. I would love to have him as a Warrior. I love that dude. Yeah. He's just such a good dude. He seems down to earth. He doesn't take it too seriously. Draymond knees him in the balls like twice, and he's just like cool about it. Yeah. He doesn't like start shit. He's so cool. Yeah, I love that.
Ja Morant out for the season. Marcus Smart dislocated his finger, out for a few weeks. Desmond Bane, he's out for a few. Is that just bad luck, or is there something about the team's training staff, or is like what is going on there?
Yeah, a lot of them were traumatic injuries, you know, like, so I think you get a little bit worried when people are getting kind of like random bunch of soft tissue injuries. But yeah, Steven Adams had a PCL and dislocated shoulder. And then there was like a, you know, I think, adductor injury. I mean, these are all like random traumatic things. So I think it's just bad luck. You know, you can't really tie, you know, connect those to like overuse or things like that. So some teams get runs like that, you know, so I think it's a bad combination of stuff happening to them.
Yeah. You know, what I think part of it is, and maybe there is more to it than this in terms of training and stuff that we don't see, but like what I think part of it is one time when like a star goes down or one person has to step up, they really drive. I found that with the Warriors a lot. A lot of like Curry's ankle rolls in like when he was really going through that heavy series of like every couple of months, he would have like a bad ankle sprain was because like someone was out and he really had to step up and play super duper hard. And then he would hurt himself, or they're in like a playoffs and someone was out. KD would be out, and then like Klay Thompson would have hurt himself because he was trying to step up. I feel like that's a big part of it too, is like they're trying to compensate.
Yeah, I agree. I think whenever athletes, I mean, all professional athletes, they need that rhythm. You need to play your whatever 32 minutes a night, you know, have your rotations, but then suddenly that gets thrown off and you're playing 37 minutes or you're moving differently and things like that. And I think that's where injuries will occur. So absolutely, when a star player goes out, you know, we're all upset about the star player, but then I'm always looking at, who's the next person that's going to have that injury because they're playing differently or playing bigger minutes?
Yeah. All right. I got one more question for you here. And it's kind of, you know, now that, you know, my kids are getting into sports, you hear the conversation about whether or not it's better for a kid to specialize in sport, like something that they seem to really like, or maybe have a talent for, versus keeping them sort of playing a bunch of different sports before that happens. Where do you land on that? Is there any research in terms of like, one, you know, whether or not it's better for kids to play multiple different sports, or two, whether we're inducing burnout in kids at a really young age?
Yeah, absolutely. The data research is very clear. So we know that when kids are specializing in a sport, they're more likely to get injured. You know, like they're going to get that ACL tear when they're 11 or 12. They're more likely to burn out and drop out of sport. Okay. So, and I think most people kind of get that. Like if you're doing the same thing year round, you're more likely to burn out. But where we get parents come in, they'll say, look, I'm going to take that risk because that's the only way my kid can go professionally. But if you actually look at the data of people who play professionally, they played multiple sports longer. So you look at NBA players, NFL players, the vast majority of them specialize at a much later age than everyone else. And that's been shown in multiple studies. But unfortunately, what ends up happening is when you talk to these club coaches, you talk to the AAU coaches who have a financial incentive, they're going to tell you have to pay me $5,000 to play year round because that's the way you're going to get to the NBA. But if you look at NBA players, you look at NFL players, like all four starting quarterbacks were multi-sport athletes in high school who are playing in the playoffs this weekend. Like they all...
Wow.
Played multiple sports longer, but we just don't hear that narrative because it doesn't generate money. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so funny to me. I imagine in your job dealing with young people in general, part of the difficulty would be dealing with the parents.
Yeah.
Do you ever find yourself in a situation where you're like, you have to give your kid a break. Seriously. I'm worried. Like you're hurting him.
Yeah, the number of parents who are trying to live through their high school, college, professional dreams to their kids is tremendous. And you'd be surprised, like a couple times, you know, I'll be like, look, I'm going to talk to your kid alone, especially when they're a little bit older. The kids get it. they understand it. They know their body's the one that's hurting. They're the ones not enjoying it. Yeah. A lot of them just don't want to tell their parents no. Mm. Like, it's your social life. You want to make your parents happy. So I'm just going to throw myself into year-round basketball, year-round soccer. So it's hard with the parents because, you know, they're coming from that mindset of, you know, my kid needs to do it. I need to push hard. I didn't make it. So my kid's going to do it. And it's hard. It's hard.
Yeah. Don't be that person, people. I'm talking to myself partially here too, but none of us wants to be that person. That's just the worst.
I definitely have
like made myself, because my oldest was like, I mean, I was an athlete, you know, but I, as far as they know, they only know me as like a performer, you know what I mean? Right. So my oldest was like dance competition, you know, all this stuff. And like, you know, it was great for her, you know, just running routines. It was great. She was a great athlete for a while, as a great dancer. She got over it after, same thing, hyper-focus, got over it, right? But for us, it was like, I mean, we tried to sign her up for other stuff. She just did, this is just what she wanted to do. So anyway, I was a little less invested in that because I'm like, you're the weird dad, you know, at 8 a.m. that it's all these like dolled up girls. And you're just like, and I'm just here for my daughter. Like, you know, when is her dance on? When's she on? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll watch the rest of these. When is my kid on? Right. Yeah. So anyway, but my youngest, she's likes the contact sport. She's the one in jiu-jitsu. So like, I'm invested, you know what I'm saying? Like in this. And I guess I'm asking on like the a little bit more of advice, because I feel like my father, you know, when he was around, my father was very committed to, you know, even after my parents split, he was very committed to like my like activities and stuff like that. Like he would drive all over the city just to make sure he'd make my games, you know, and was like locked in, you know what I'm saying? Like in a way that didn't feel overbearing, but felt supportive, you know. Yeah. I'm noticing my daughter more just kind of wants me to watch and shut up. Mm-hmm. And boy, is that, woo!
You know, is that easy for you or hard for you?
Super hard. Like, because even if it's like I'm cheering her on, like, come on, girl, there you go, you know, or like, hey, you know, stop dogging it. Like, you know, like, hustle up, you know what I'm saying? Like, just like all of the things that you would do as like, I'm a girl dad, you know what I'm saying? Like, my kids weren't competitive like that. Like, but this one's in this competitive thing that I'm like,
and you see potential is part of it. I mean,
she could do it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, have you seen parents do it well?
Yeah, I think, I agree. And I think I have. And I think it's called letting the kids drive it and then support what their decisions are, as opposed to the parents driving. So yeah, if you get a kid in who's like, look, I want a private trainer. And obviously their financial stuff with that, but nope, you're not getting it.
On my house. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think if you let kids drive it and you're kind of like not pushing kids. And I always say the best thing, I always say like the car ride back, right? That always differentiates a good parent from the bad parent. The good parent asks, did you have fun? How do you feel out there?
Yeah.
What'd bad parents breaking down what happened on the court or what happened at that game. So I think you have to be there. You drive them there. That's obviously the biggest support. But I think, it's just you're there. And then I think the other thing is, as well as too, is that it's okay to get kids involved in activities just to get them involved in it, not for them to be good at it, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think it's hard sometimes for parents to be like, look, I'm going to take you to this music class. I don't care if you're good or not, but I want you to just experience it, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think we're caught up in this culture of you do something just so you can be really, really good at it, as opposed to just experience it, you know? Yeah. And I think that's the parents who do it the best. Yeah.
I agree. Although there are sometimes, like for the younger kids, like when they bring the parents bring their kid to the sports thing and the kid just crying because they're there and they don't want to be there.
Yeah.
Right. In those cases, I'm like, why are you doing this to your kid? Yeah. Don't force them. Don't do this.
And find something. And for us, it was like, you're getting off screens. It's like I want you to, and then she ended up taking to it. So like, once she started taking to it, it was like, all right, well, let's go, you know?
Right.
And then we're definitely like, I'm learning the balance of, because again, I come from the old guard. So it's like, you're not allowed to quit anything.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so, but if she's like, I want to take a swimming class, I'm like, you can't quit. But it's like, no, yes, you can. You know what I'm saying? Right. But just don't, like,
The thing is, like, people hear hear us giving these warnings and Nirav is giving this great advice about parenting, but they don't understand necessarily, if they don't have kids or kids that are playing sports, how easy it is to fall into that trap of being that parent, if you're not careful, of breaking down every play, because you think it's coming from a good place, like a place of love. Like you want your kid to be the best they can be, and you want to help them because you want them to have everything in life and all that. And you're doing this from a, like, not a bad place necessarily, but it's not good. You know, it doesn't help.
Yeah, I don't want you to, like, no one likes losing. No one likes experiencing losing. Yeah. I don't like sitting here watching you lose because I'm standing next to that kid's dad while he's clapping, and I'm just like, man, this dude, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, but it's like, but if my daughter gets in the car, the first thing in her mouth is like, can we go get frozen yogurt? I'm like, you just got pinned. Like, no, you can't get no frozen yogurt. You're going to run laps. Like, nah. Yeah, no. But I, like, I've learned to be like, yes, let's go get Froyo. You know what I'm saying? Because, yeah, because like you said, it's like, I mean, one, number one, she's eight. She don't want to compete. You know what I mean? Like, she just likes going to the thing and doing the thing. Yeah. I'm like, okay, great. So I think that's cool, man. You setting parents free to be like, yo, it's okay to put them in there just so they can do it.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. I think that's great advice. Any other questions for Nirav while we got him here, or shall we let him get back to his painful life as a Warriors fan?
Actually, we have a painful night of EMR doing notes, as you would.
Oh, yes. that's right.
What's the I have one. What's the most gnarliest, like, thing that came in before where you were just like, oh?
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest thing is, when, no matter how many times you do it, when bones are sticking out of the skin, it's just, I mean, it's what we do as orthopedic surgeons, but even it, every time I see that, I'm like, it's not.
It's rough. It's rough. It's rough. All right. Well, please, people, be careful out there. Do your exercises, do your stretches, take your breaks, listen to your body. Nirav, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. What can we plug for you, my friend?
If you want to follow me on social media, just as at Dr. Nirav Bhundia. That's where I do my injury analysis, share some hot takes on the Warriors. So yeah, check me out on social media.
Great takes. I follow you and listen for you on 95.7 The Game, my favorite local sports radio station. Prop.
Yeah.
Let's get some of these plugs in, my friend. Let's plug.
Sure. I'm actually typing in your handle right now, so I can make sure I follow you. Yeah. All right. Prop Hip Hop is all of my socials and such. The show is Hood Politics with Prop. Essentially, you know, this is going to be quite a year for politics. Some of it can get a little dizzying. And what I try to do is, like, just basically access prior knowledge. If you grew up in any sort of urban environment, you actually understand politics more than you think. So I just kind of, like, give some commentary and analysis to kind of translate what's going on the show. I wrote a poetry book called Terraform. I have a cold brew coffee called Terraform Cold Brew, terraformcoldbrew.com. Coffee's good for you because we did a show on it on this podcast
with Deepak Chopra's brother,
which was the it's still a good, like, three truths and a lie game, right? You know, with people that I'm like, I did a pod with Deepak Chopra's brother
on coffee.
Yes.
Yeah, that's great.
So yeah,
and,
that's
and your music and
oh, and I do hip hop music. My name is Propaganda, you know, and so I do music and poetry. You could find me on all the streaming things. Yeah.
I'm a big fan of all those things. Nadim, I don't know. Do you have anything? What do you do? What do you do, Nadim? I've known you for like 30 years. What do you do?
Yeah, I don't do any public social media, even though I have worked for a social media company. I'm a software engineer. And if you have to follow anybody, I guess follow Sacramento Kings. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Go Kings.
All right, I'll accept.
I like your style, man.
Thank you guys all so much. What a blast.
This podcast is not a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Please consult a physician or other qualified healthcare provider for your specific healthcare needs or concerns. The opinions expressed on this podcast do not represent the opinions of our employees. Details in the podcast have been changed so that patient identification is not possible. And I'm alive.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.